This is a Pinball News production.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Fireside Chat with John Yalcey. Could I ask for a show of hands if you own a John Yalcey game or have owned a John Yalcey game?
All right, that explains it.
So I guess I don't need to tell you about John's work. I've just discovered that John's involvement in pinball art goes back to, what, the mid-70s?
Yes.
And I guess most recently, you've worked for all the major companies, and most recently you've joined the team at Jersey Jack to rekindle your working relationship with Pat Lawler, having worked on every Pat Lawler game?
I couldn't say, not everyone. Earthshaker and Banzai Run I did not work on.
Okay.
I came in right after those.
Okay.
Whirlwind was my first Pat game.
Okay. So John's put together a presentation for us. 103 Easy Steps to Pinball Art.
Yeah, it actually has a theme, but it's... I like interruptions, you know, questions, things like that, because I'm not a professional speaker. I'll miss things, and at least my wife tells me that all the time. let's see. Okay, you already talked about me getting started in the 70s, which I wasn't going to say that, but Old Chicago was my first game. I was a freelance illustrator then, trying to put meat on the table. And I can't remember exactly how I got drafted, but I went in and met Dave, and he was already a legend, a living legend, a working legend. So I knew there was no way I could emulate his work, so I did my own thing. I did magazines, I had done album covers, record covers for 5 years for album graphics. And if you think about it, an album cover is a lot.
What year frame were you doing the covers?
That was the time frame I started that job in about 72, right out of art school.
Good type of covers,
then. Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I got out of art school, drove a cab for like 3-4 months in Chicago at night.
Great time.
Well, I was freelancing, but not making enough. Right out of school, you can't make a living freelancing. So I drove that cab at night to pay the rent. And then I'd been to this place, Album Graphics. That's where I wanted to work. That was my dream job when I went to art school. My senior thesis was illustrating rock lyrics. So I took that in there, and they remembered me because I found out they were a real small studio, two people. You know? So someone had to die or leave for me to get a job there. Well, one of the guys, Richard Germanero, he married a rock singer, E.B. Sands, and left. So, 3 months after I'd been there. So they called me and had me come by. And that's why. So I ended up doing album covers for 5 years. And I met just about everybody that came through Chicago at like age 22.
Can you do some name dropping?
At age 22, I art directed a photo session at a Rod Stewart concert.
Well,
met with him backstage, told him what we wanted him. I was ordering him what to do. I didn't know what the heck I was doing, but I had a photographer out in the crowd, and we wanted him to swing his mic. And then the idea for that was, this is good pinball talk, huh? The idea for that was we were going to make a flip book. And when you bought the album, remember the complicated albums back then? Not all of you do, you're too young. But, we specialized in complex packaging. So we tried to trick out everything. We made more money because we printed them too, you know. And so you'd get this thing with the flip book art in there, and then you had to cut them apart and staple it together. And then when you flipped it, you'd see Rod swing the mic, you know. And I don't think we ever did it, you know. But we got Rod Stewart, Moms Mabley, Joe Tex, Uriah Heep.
Very humble.
What?
Their tagline was very humble, but very heavy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I got tired of it all, to be honest with you, after 5 years of that. And what I got tired of was the musicians being stoned, trying to tell me how to do my job. It was like, well, if I could just draw, you know, I'd show you how to do it, you know. So I actually quit my job, and my boss knew the art directors of Playboy magazine. And my boss said, have you ever worked for Playboy? And I said, no. So the next day, I'm having lunch with Kerry Pope and those guys over there. And so once you had your artwork of Playboy, it was like, man, you went in the express lane to success. And that's really what happened. You know, just pew. Then I had like an agent, or we called them reps in Chicago, New York. So that kind of sets me up for pinball, because that's what I was doing, and I was doing well at it, you know. And I want to fast forward now to 88, just keep that right there. Because in 88, I got a call from a buddy, Fred Bezark. He was actually a business manager. He'd worked on with Evel Knievel. I think he was Knievel's business manager. And he told me that he thought, or he had a deal for me, not a deal, but an opportunity for me, that I had something that Williams, it wasn't Bally then, it was strictly Williams, that Williams would like, and he thought it would be good for me too. And I just thought back to old Chicago when I did that game, and I didn't do that well, and they paid me nothing, you know, so I didn't want to do it, you know. And I remember I was mowing the lawn, and I got called in on a Saturday by my wife to talk to this guy, to Fred. And so he wouldn't let me go, so I said, okay, I'll go to the meeting, you know. So I go down to Williams, so I'm driving down there, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll go in, they'll tell me what they want me to do, I'll give them my price, and they'll say, that's too much, and we'll shake hands and I'll leave. You know, that was my plan. And I'm not kidding, about an hour later, I'm in Python's office meeting with them, you know, doing a game. I started with the back glasses because I was too intimidated, quite frankly, by all the work with going on the play field. I had kids, so we'd go to arcades a lot, you know, and I was familiar with Python's name. I'd seen it, but I thought his real name was like Frank Smith, you know. That was like his art name, Python, you know. But he did not let me down. He was when Ken Fidesna walked me back to his office after I agreed to do this, strictly the back glass, and we walked in his office and Python was gone, so he just left me there, you know. And I'm looking around, and those of you that have been down there, or probably even at Stern, the offices are all just piles of parts, you know. At least that's the way. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Piles of electronic parts and things that I don't recognize, you know. But Python had, I noticed something right away, above his door, he had a portrait that he had done quickly. I could tell it was like a spontaneous thing without sketching ahead of time or anything. It was just, and I'd only seen it, or that look, one other time, and there was a guy that I went to art school with who was a master illustrator and later won a gold medal, Society of Illustrators gold medal. I saw that, and I go, whoa, this guy, he's a real artist. So then he comes in, and Python's, I was going to save this for the end, but I'm rolling. I was going to do a little Python thing, but I'm rolling on Python, so I'll just tell you. He came in the room, and he was like sweating, and his hair was all wet, you know. Oh, Johnny, nice to meet you, you know. I'm responsible for bringing you here, you know. I'm the one that told them to get you in here, you know. And I think I got brought in there because they were behind with this game and the way the schedule was. If they have machines on the assembly line ready to go out the door with no word, everything comes to a grinding halt, you know. And I got called in a couple times to do that.
And what was that back glass that translated?
That was Jokers. And he basically art directed me. He had a sketch already, and he sketched beautifully. You know, he's a great thinker, and you probably heard a lot about him. Everything they say about him. I mean, usually, when you're describing someone, you exaggerate or whatever to make your point. You cannot exaggerate enough about Python. You just can't.
That game had animation in the background, didn't it?
And Jokers, no. Oh yeah, yeah. With a light, there was a little light thing.
It's also got the cards.
It's got a cutout with playing cards.
Okay, see, I haven't seen the game in so long. I just look at my artwork, and that's not there, you know.
So that was your
coming
first back glass?
That
and
was
Joker's
first
exclamation point, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Cause that's amazing, because, I mean, I think that's probably the most beautiful back glass in pinball, period.
I love that back glass. I know it's
got bigger.
I'm sorry?
Whenever questions come up, the most beautiful girl on the queen always comes up.
Python, I remember. And well, I'll just say it how it is, you know. I've been working in commercial art for McDonald's and United Airlines, and granted, I did the album cover thing, you know. But I brought in the sketch of the queen, and I wanted her to be beautiful and everything. He says, oh, but Johnny, we have to have nipples. You got to show the nipples, you know. And he's, you know, you got to show the nipples like that, you know. And I thought, I can't show the nipples. My niece will see that, and, you know, my sister will see that, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I didn't put him in. I thought for sure he was going to add him, and he never did, you know. So
how long did they give you to do that project?
I don't remember. Everything I did in advertising was always like 2 weeks. So I said a week for the sketch. When I thought, okay, this is going to take longer. Like 2 weeks for the sketch, 2 weeks for final artwork. But it was too much work. So at the end of a week, I get a call, you know, how's it going, you know. And I said, well, I'm, you know, I have half done. You know, I have the king and queen done. You know, I have to work out the jester, you know. So then about a half hour later, I get a call from Python. He goes, Johnny, how's it going? You know, so I told him the same thing, and he says, "Don't worry about those guys. Don't." I can't imitate him, you know. I can't imitate Python's voice, but he basically said, "Ignore everything you just heard. Take your time. Do a good job. You know, the people, in front, you know, in the office, they don't matter. It's all about us, you know." And he says, "I'm going to get you more money. Whatever they're paying you, you're going to get more."
And at this time, you'd have been doing proper drawing, as I would think of it, rather than
Well, the album cover, some of that was like a backlash. You know, the advertising artwork, it was like you did a sketch, you went into Chicago, you drove to the took a cab to the advertising agency, you know, you're dressed nice, your rep came along with you, your agent, you know. So it was all very businesslike and everything. Everything was quoted on and purchase orders and all that stuff, you know. So, yeah, this was a new thing for me, you know, really.
Right, but now it's all done on computer, painting by computer, I suppose.
Yeah.
So what would you have used to do Jokers?
That was all airbrush and with acrylics, gouache, and a little bit of watercolor. I was going to say Dr. Martin dyes, but I stopped using those because I knew the art would have some value. So Dr. Martin dyes are not light fast. So a lot of the advertising artwork I did, I did a thing for that Rod Stewart album, or one of the Rod Stewart albums, that hung on my mom and dad's walls for so long that when it finally bleached out, the sunlight just killed all the color. That was dyes. But the pinball stuff is all in light. I'm very careful to use really good pigments.
So where's the original art?
James Lofton has the original.
Oh, right. Okay. So it went to...
Wait. No, James has Bright of Pimba. Rob Burke has Jokers, and it's for sale right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I just found out those two paintings were missing, and I knew Python probably had them, and I assumed he had sold them or given them away or something to someone on the team. He never told me what happened to him. And quite frankly, those first two games, Jokers and Police Force, it was pre-Greg Ferris, pre-Bally.
Right.
They hadn't joined yet. So with advertising artwork and... Now with magazines and things, you got your art back. But for a lot of my commissions, you just didn't see the art again. Mm-hmm. They kept it, you know. So I wasn't that alarmed that I didn't get the art back, you know. But then Greg came aboard, and when I finished Whirlwind, I was down there one day, and he said, "Oh, here's your art," you know. I said, "I get my art back?" He says, "Yeah, you didn't get your art back for the... You're supposed to get your art back, man." Well, I never got it, you know, so...
So are you saying since then you've got all the original art?
Well, not all of it, but I have all. Well, not all of it. I think I have 18 back glasses, and as far as the parts for playfields, plastics, I have a lot of that stuff too. But it's not complete. Like I don't have anything that's completely there, for two reasons. It just got misplaced, and you know, to come in. And Williams was super busy, you know, and you couldn't do things fast enough. I'd finish a job, and then, boom, I'm on another one, you know, and I'm working till like 3 in the morning and too tired, you know, you don't even think about it.
But when you're working on Jokers, the way you explain that...
Say that again?
When you were working on Jokers, you were saying that you got phone calls.
Yes.
I presume you were at home working, or at least not on Williams' premises. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you did that.
I worked on everything at home. And it got so with the Williams, I would drive down to Williams every Friday. And that's when I did my show and tell. So I did that, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I did that for two games, like Jokers and Police Force, just back glasses. And I was getting, I had done a complete 180 on pinball. I mean, I was really passionate about it, and I loved it. I loved the whole team thing, even though I wasn't with back glasses, it's not a big team thing. So Ken called me and asked me to work to do a whole game. He said, "Are you ready to do a game yet?" You know, and I was fired up. So
now a game would be the back glass, the play field, the plastics, and the cabinet.
All the art, yeah, every art. The artist is responsible for everything. That's what I'm doing with Pat Lawler and Jersey Jack right now, too. By the way, the same agreement. So yeah, and I love that idea, you know. I knew it was a lot more work, but you had 6 months and I was ready for it, you know. So plus you got a royalty on the games, you know, which is, I had royalties on greeting cards and plates and things, and they amounted to like $30, you know. You never really, so I thought, well, the royalty thing, I'll just forget it, you know.
So talking about Police Horse, was that another rush job? Because that game changed themes.
That was a rush job, and I remember falling asleep painting it all night, you know. And it came down to the last day, those stores, I was painting the signs, and I didn't even have logos designed, and it's like 4 in the morning, you know, and they had to be done the next day. I mean, I've done that like 1,000 times, you realize. That's the way it goes.
But, I mean, that was kind of weird to have sort of animals as people.
It's like Python.
Right, so we credit Python for that.
I don't blame them. I mean, I thought it was pretty cool. You know, it's like high speed with animals.
Right, right.
And when he describes it to you, Python describing this game, you know, and he had it roughed out, rough sketch, you know, it's exciting. Oh, this is, you know, well, we got this lion, this beast, you know, here. He's, you know, on the microphone.
He was always excited about anything.
Yeah, he was like in a warp drive usually. And,
I mean, for those that don't know, Police Force was almost Batman. It started life as Batman.
So I had no idea that.
Oh, so where you got the police car on the left-hand side of the playfield, that was going to be Batmobile. But what happened was, I think Williams were working on that before the license deal had been done, and somehow Data East managed to get in and grab the license. So there was a game design without...
I'll be darned. Well, that kind of thing happens, you know. A lot of the games I worked on, the licensed games at Williams... we didn't have a go or like a sign on the dotted line till like the week before it was in the factory, and I think they held that to the licensor, you know, to get them to sign. And I'd be like panicked because I had been working all this time for like 6 months, and I'd always ask when I go in there, you know, no, not yet, don't worry. And it worked out okay for me.
Were there any of them pulled on you after you got the work done?
No, there weren't. I'm trying to think of Stern if there were any. I don't think so. It was close, you know. We had to make a lot of changes and revisions, you know, for actresses and actors, you know.
There was a recent thing got called at Stern, wasn't there?
What can you say?
John was working on a game.
John Trudeau?
Yeah, and the license never came through. I guess didn't get as far as artwork.
Well... just repurpose it.
So
you said that Python gave you sketches for the Translite for Police Force, and that was my very first one that I bought. So I was just curious. Your characters match the ones on the playfield at all? Is that just from his sketches, or did you have the playfield art and the?
We were collaborating. I'd go in there, but he did a lot of drawing more than on Jokers. On Jokers, it was more rough. What he wanted, and I wanted to really make it my own. Like, if you look at Joker, it doesn't look like Python art. I redrew, he doesn't draw women like the queen, and doesn't draw men like the king, you know. That's my stuff. But on the Police Force, I think, I remember those two animals in the foreground, it's a lion and a jaguar or something.
Is it a shark?
Well, that's in the back.
Oh, okay.
There's.
Oh, you're talking about the bad guys. It's a weasel and a rat.
No, the foreground. It's the lion and the.
Yeah, they're in the foreground in the car, just like on police, like in Tack or High Speed. It's very similar. Do you remember High Speed?
Yeah. So you're talking about the ones in the police car.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's a lion on the left and
a cheetah.
Yeah. It was fun to paint, you know. Except the time, like you said, it was a big rush.
So Josh, you never saw the back.
No, I had no clue. Gilligan's Island was originally another game called The Brain, I think. And I think that was his last game. He was like in California when I was working on it.
There was also a poster for Police Force. Would you have done that? Or would that?
That was the back glass, I think.
Right, it was lifted from the back glass.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the same artwork. So that's the way that went down.
Okay. So we were defining what the complete package was for art, and I went through several items.
Yeah, let me start.
I didn't include the flyer. Would that be part of the art
package? No, I would provide them with artwork. But I would start, you start every game with a cabinet, because usually they're not finished designing the game yet, so you can't work on the play field, you know. You don't want to work on the back glass until you kind of establish the style guide for that particular game. So you worked on the cabinet, and cabinets were simpler back then. You know, it was like 3-4 colors, and it was almost like a stencil. It wasn't, but very simple silk screening. So you established the logo and maybe the color palette. That was it. So you always did the cabinet first. I still do that. Like I finished the cabinet with Pat's game about a month ago. So we, you know, established the logo.
So what's the main theme of that? Straight face. Was that good?
You want me to shoot you?
Well, you got to try.
I'll tell you in the back. Okay. Well, my wife doesn't even know, or my kids. This game is, I'm not kidding, it's super secret.
Super secret. This is all your artwork for Scott's cooking. Helping you or telling you what you like.
He just talks. He talks, and, well, that's a lot. That's the concept. And we do a lot of talking because we have to. You know, there's nothing. You start with nothing. And you have to create a world, an environment, characters, plot. So we do a lot of talking like that. And but then I had to establish a style guide or the look of this particular game. So I hadn't done that for a long time. I draw every week, but it's like drawing figures and stuff like that, you know.
So we know that Pat's game is not a licensed game. So would you care to comment on the difference between working on a licensed game, where I assume you get a style book and you've got some limitations?
Yeah. Well, if you look up there, like this is based on original artwork. This is how original artists have worked, and like if Greg Ferris was in here or Kevin O'Connor, they may not call them the same things, but this is how you work. You start out with a concept and then some...
I found one more.
Alrighty. You have to probably handcuff them. How was the dinner?
You want to keep doing it?
Okay. Anyway, the concept, you do some really rough concept drawings, and I have some on here. I did a big thing on Funhouse on here that shows that stuff. So the concept drawings, just super rough scribbles, just to get, so you remember them, you know. Thumbnail sketches, all artists do little thumbnails. In art school, they told us to put a bunch of squares on a page and do like 15 or 20 thumbnails, you know. For
that's a storyboard.
No, it's just ideas. Your
key elements. Okay.
It's brainstorming. Your brainstorming ideas.
Just getting something down.
And then rough sketches, you look at the thumbnails, Pat would look at the thumbnails, I'd fax them, you know, that modern technology, the fax. He would look at them and say, I like B2. So then you do a rough sketch of B2, and then he, you know, there's feedback coming from the team, you know, and you talk. Then you do the tight sketch, you don't want to do that until you really know what you're doing, because you invest a lot of time in it, you shoot photography, at least I did. Guys like Pat McMahon and Python, I think they always drew right out of their head. But I did a lot of photo reference. So tight sketch is black and white, but it should look just like the final product, except this drawing. Then the color comp, so you establish, this is a big deal. You want to get the color right to work, you know. So then going into the final artwork, if all that has been done right, you can relax and do your thing on without panicking, versus doing a painting without a color comp, you get to the end and you realize you have a real color problem. You know? And it's not like now with Photoshop where you can just tweak the hue saturation.
Interesting you say that, because I was just wondering, with modern technology, you use all those words like sketches, but are they all being done on a computer screen?
Almost everything now. I started drawing with this particular project.
What software do you use?
Photoshop.
Oh, okay.
And a little bit of Illustrator, but all the drawings in Photoshop. And artists like, now I work on a Wacom Cintiq. I don't know if any of you know what that is, but it's like painting, really. You work on a tablet or a screen. It's a screen that has 2,400 levels of pressure sensitivity.
I was just going to ask that.
They're awesome, man. They're like $2,400. I have two. But my company gave them to me. You know, so I didn't have to buy them. It's quite a luxury to have those. And it's when I got that, I worked with a Wacom tablet before that. It's kind of like an Etch-a-Sketch where you're drawing down here and seeing up there. But with the Cintiq, when I got that, I really wasn't homesick for for traditional media anymore. I really felt like I'd closed a circle. And it was like, I'm back, you know. You can create your own brushes to emulate natural media.
So are the images coming up on the tablet that you're working on?
I'm painting them.
On the tablet? Yeah, it's a touchscreen, essentially.
Yeah, it's like
a
pressure-sensitive touchscreen where you actually, it's super sensitive, so you have a stylus or a pen.
Right.
And that's how you work.
It's much more direct, the relationship between
it is direct,
what your hand's doing and what you're
And you
saying.
Feel in your mind you're painting. You don't even, it's like working naturally. I've been doing it for like 8 years on that Cintiq, so I'm really used to it. And now when I pick up a tablet, that Wacom tablet, you know, it is like watching a child draw. Yeah. So the other thing about licensed products, I think the first one I did was, Gilligan's Island. I don't think they had a style guide. It was just a matter of watching VHS tapes, you know, shooting photography off of them, you know. But it is different. And now that I'm working on original art again, I realize how different it is. Don't get me wrong, it takes a lot of time. Sometimes you do 50 versions of something or more because it's easy to do them. And when you actually look at, no one believes it, you know, when you say you've done 50 versions, but you save them all. And they're all, you put them in the bridge, which is like a browser for images. And there they all are. So then you photograph or you do a screen save of that and you send it to them and you say, look, I did 50 versions for you. I want a little extra money.
Now, is that typical or is that just
No, that's atypical.
Work?
However, it's getting to be more and more like that, you know.
Pardon?
That's not typical do that many. But, you know, it is typical to do like 20 or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm doing a simple thing for my job at IGT. And there are tons of versions that you go through because it's you have all these layers of approvals you have to work your way through.
So each time you do a new version, you're starting from scratch?
No.
So you're taking the previous one?
Because it's layered artwork on
the computer. So it's iterations?
Well, different compositions. A lot of times it's just moving things around or putting things behind each other. Like Dale Jr., that was the worst I've ever experienced. And that one was over 50. And the final version, if you look at the Dale Jr. back glass, and nobody liked the situation we were in, you know, but Dale Jr. in their office, they were having problems communicating. I don't know what was going on down there, but something had broken down. And the final artwork is just Dale Jr. on a black background. That's it.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a logo.
Yeah. But didn't he, fall out of favor or retire or something?
No, he's winning races.
Oh, he's still around.
Yeah.
Is that, red and black, different colors.
Yeah, he's on a different team.
Yeah.
Right, that's what it was then.
Yeah.
Was there a different, did you have a lot of different styles of Dale Jr. change that had to go back to just the black?
I did some really nice back glasses, some really nice ones that, the problem was, and I don't really know, I wasn't down there, I never went down there to their office. It was like a compound, I guess. But I think we were dealing with someone too low on the totem pole. And I don't know if they were afraid to show things, you know, so you did all this work and then it got bumped up one more layer. And I think they were all relatives, too. I'm not kidding, I think they were. You know, I'd hire my kids, too, if I could do that, you know.
Haven't you?
Yes. Both of them. Fortunately, one's got a decent job, you know, the other one. My fingers crossed, you know. You want to see any of this stuff?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll go through these kind of quick. I like to show that at the beginning just because it's pretty simple. I was downstairs cleaning stuff out, and it fell out on the floor, and it was out of the context of the pinball thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I thought, is that from high school? Because that's what I did in high school, and that's why I almost got kicked out a few times and had to stay after school quite a few times.
So is this kind of daydreaming, doodling?
Middle of English class.
Man. I'd have to, clean the pigeon poop off the church steps. I went to a Catholic school.
This wasn't from the golfers.
Well, that's my next thing. You went too fast. Thanks, Don. Pat, early on in the game, he asked for a tricked-out golf cart, you know. So I was going to ask you to answer your own question. Or you answer my question. So I put her, I just thought like a kid, you know, and that's what a lot of this is letting go of everyday life, you know, and living that world you just lived in all the time when you were like 15. So that's what you do sometimes.
I just have to ask, were you inspired at all by an artist called Crosley back in the day? He did a lot of C-A-R cartoons.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was inspired by it. I had those cartoons.
The Beatles look like, kind of like his and some of the other things.
Oh, well, Big Daddy Roth and all those guys. I had the models, you know, and did all that stuff. I didn't know that guy that you're talking about.
You did? Oh, yeah.
But I used to have the surf shirts with theirs. Hot rods on them and dragsters, you know. So, yeah, that all inspired me.
Okay.
Oh.
Next.
Next. Okay. I was going to give stuff away free. Where is it? But, you know, these questions are so easy. The last time I did this, they were like 5-year-olds, you know, they got it right away.
Whirlwind,
yeah.
What do you ask?
So, I was going to say, whoever gets up here first and answered it can have it. Oh, you got to
get up first. Whirlwind. Since Rue answered it.
Because I have something. I mean,
you got there anyways.
You're not going to be able to build a second home with this stuff.
How about a first home?
Fire. Yeah, there you go. So.
Jackpot. Do you have one of those?
I do not have a jackpot. Thank you.
I am. If you already have something, ask me and I'll customize your order. Okay, next one here. And this is like when we were talking earlier, and it's what now?
It says whirlwind, don't it?
Yes, it does.
Too easy. Now I know why we got the
question mark on it.
By the way, do you find working on licensed products to be more like tedious and not as creative as working on unlicensed products?
Well, some of them I really loved working on, you know, like I love Tron, love Ripley's.
So it depends on the license.
It depends on the license.
One thing, if you had to actually draw something, you'd have to, like, get it right on.
That's true, like on Shrek.
Yeah.
The play field, they didn't have, they gave us a crappy style guide. This is one thing that's bad about licensed products. They give you a package. They might have, you know, if it's a film like Shrek, they might have 3 packages, you know, like one goes to Kellogg's for a cereal box. Burger King gets one, you know, for their trans lights or something like a Happy Meal, you know. We have a pinball machine that's got a cabinet 4 feet wide, 5 parts to it, a clay field that's 4 feet long, tiered with plastic and decals, you know, and a back glass that's all, that's a lot of real estate, you know. So you really have to convince them to release stuff to you, you know. So with Shrek, I never did get it. So one day I'm working on the playfield, and I just started painting, and I painted almost the whole background on the bottom of that thing and sent it off to them, and I thought, what do I got to lose, you know. They loved it, you know. I bought it just as it was, you know. So that was a nice thing. You can go to the net. Well, what I was going to say there was, by then, and we talked about it earlier, by this point, you know, I was ready for a game, you know, so... Go ahead. Whirlwind was the first complete game I did with Pat Lawler. Here I am getting ownership of the back glass, you know. And it's, again, being that kid doing what you want to do. Pat encouraged me, you know, and he had the whole idea of this guy. Actually, at the beginning, he didn't know what... He had the whole idea of a tornado, but he didn't know if this hero guy should be a weatherman or what. So I did, I don't know, like 5 scenarios for him, and we ended up with this one here. And we shot the reference in my driveway for all this stuff. That's our dog in the back seat of the van. And
Now, does the kid have the Chicago Cubs?
Yeah, they originally had a Cubs. We were all Cubs fans, you know, back then. Pat still is a huge Cubs fan. And, of course, gee, don't you think that would be good publicity for the Cubs? They made us make a little sticker to put over them, at least on that first run. This is a tight sketch, by the way. That was one of the purpose of this game, or this project, or this show, I guess, the slideshow, is showing you the process that we as artists go through. So this is that final sketch before you go to color.
How long would you have spent doing that?
Well, all total, quite a bit of time, you know, okay. Maybe a couple of weeks, you know.
Wow.
There's photo, by then I had shot photo reference.
Right.
Yeah, are you the storm chaser?
I'm the storm chaser, and I got done with that. And by then I was probably like 40. 35, that tells me old I am. But I looked at it and I go, it looks like my Uncle Fred. Next, please. Okay, so that's the final artwork.
So
That's why I gave him blonde hair. So he,
do you paint over your sketches, or do you then start from scratch?
No, completely from scratch. Yeah.
But is it on mud vellum or something?
This was on the final artwork. Is on Crescent number one illustration board. Is the finest board you can buy, at least here in this country. It was.
You don't have to put your sketch under it so you can follow it.
What you do is you make a photocopy of that sketch that I just showed you, and then you have graphite you put underneath it, and you trace it down. You draw right on the sketch onto that illustration board beneath. So when you're done, you have to trace the whole sketch. When you're done, you lift it off, and there's your drawing on there. So you don't redraw it all
but
over
now
again.
On the computer, you just go another layer.
I paint right over the drawings now. Well, not always, but yeah.
Was any of your work influenced by previous pinball artists?
Yeah, absolutely. I think everything I do is influenced by previous pinball artists, or billboards, or cereal boxes, or someone I see wherever, you know. Even Da Vinci admitted he was standing on shoulders of some people, you know. So I'm not afraid to, you don't set out to rip people off unless you really want to, you know. I've ripped a few people off.
Where are the women?
It's not a Python game. Well, there is a woman there on the motorcycle.
What? Really?
There's a babe on the motorcycle.
Long hair.
The girl cop.
Mom's driving the minivan.
Come on, buddy. Get with it.
Yeah, you know.
No, if there's a close-up, you'd be able to see it better. Okay, next, please. Now, you may think you know what this is. But what was it originally called? And don't you say, you're not allowed.
I won't say.
Come on. Because at the beginning, it was not called. What? No. So I guess nobody gets a prize except you.
No, I can't remember. It's gone.
Okay, the next one tells you what it was originally. Crazy Houses. That was the number one name at the beginning. And Jim, did you know that?
I couldn't remember, but I did know it.
Yeah.
At 1:10, like yeah. 5 minutes ago.
I know how that goes.
That's a hell of a nice pinball you did there. Pinball.
Yeah, I love doing that kind of stuff.
John, all your artwork is so much fun. It's almost like cartoon art. Has that always been like your MO? Is this cartoon art?
I never thought of myself as a cartoonist. I mean, like, I see Pat McMahon as a cartoonist.
Yeah. You know? Oh, it's shadows, I think.
It's fun art, you know?
Yeah. It's right in there. Like, I love the illustrations of Mad Magazine, so it's...
I was going to say.
It's that kind of look, you know? I like those guys a lot. Imitating Charlie White and Alan Aldridge.
Right.
Alan Aldridge is a great airbrush artist.
Well, that goes back to your illustrating lyrics thing.
That's right. Yeah, that's cool.
You know, Alan Aldridge did a back blast for Bimble.
Yeah, I've never seen it, though.
It's Captain Fantastic for the Ballyhoon game.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that. Yeah.
It's pretty similar to the album sleeve, which is
ready this for everybody. I've always been curious. You or Kevin, the first one to depict the ball like this, how you showed that old line?
I'll tell you who did that first. You talked about, do you ever, like, imitate other artists? Charlie White III, an illustrator from California.
Really?
What year?
He started that in, I would guess, late 60s, early 70s.
Okay, that looks like
Is it? Well, maybe he
went the White Brother. Dick's brother.
Is it Dick's brother?
No. Dick White? No. Charles White III. He was like the Python of the illustration world. He put up a billboard in New York. He left L.A. and went to New York to take over. You know, well, L.A. is different than New York. So he wasn't getting jobs, so he put up a big billboard with his face right in the middle and said, Charles White owns the world. And then, like, the next week, there was a sign up from an advertising agency that said, Leo Burnett owns Charles White.
That says not poetry.
Is the pinball rolling through beer and its foam?
You think too much. Next slide. Next slide. Okay, so these were a couple of the early concept logo things. You know, the sideshow was an idea. We got shot down legally. Someone else owned these names.
The clock seems to be a recurring theme in a lot of.
Well, the clock. I'm surprised it was in there that early, but These are the logo. Let's go to the next one because we're getting into this evolution of the game. And when I first walked in, I get called into Pat's office usually when I was working on another game. So I'd be working on, because an artist can do two games a year. You have 6 months to do the art. A game designer needs a year, more or less, to do a game. So I would get called in when Pat was about halfway through. I was just finishing someone else's game. And he brought me into Larry DeMar's office, and he had the white wood. I don't know. It probably looked a lot like this.
Larry runs through that.
Yeah. One and only. Okay.
There you go.
Y'all know or not?
Impression.
There wasn't enough money for the clock, so they pulled it out and we used it on Twilight Zone.
Yep.
But the head was not attached in there. John Crutcher, a mechanical engineer, he came into the meeting in Larry's office and brought it in. And Pat, he's like super enthusiastic at the beginning of the game, you know. And he called me into his office first and he locked the door. Because not only there was a competition with Data East and anybody else, but Williams had, you know, a lot of teams that are working, and you got royalties for your game, so you didn't want someone to steal your thunder. You wanted to keep it under cover. So he closed the door, and he'd say, "What would you think about, you know, a talking dummy in a game?" And I thought, well, okay. You know, I didn't really visualize it at first. So he showed me that, and then he said, "And Larry's going to make a talk." And I thought, okay, it's going to go, he says, "No, he's going to make a talk. He's going to teach the dummy to talk." I didn't think it could be done, but Larry DeMar made that happen. So that was the first thing. Never forget, I walked out of this meeting. I was all excited about it. I was still finishing, I think it was Gilligan. And Python, at that time, his office was either next to Larry's, on the north wall of Williams there, with a window, they both had windows, or he's a few away, and he sees me. He goes, "Johnny, come here, Johnny." And he pulls me into his office, closes the door. "You cannot do that game for Lawler and DeMar, you know. Nobody will put money in a game that insults them." And I thought, am I crazy? I really love that game, you know. And so Python, I respected Python's instincts, but I just felt he was wrong, you know. And I guess, well, he was wrong.
Yeah. A couple of quick questions about your, where it says Thermos, do they pay to have that logo there? Or do you?
That was Roller Games, different game. Roller Games.
Yeah, they would just.
Yeah, but I mean, in that.
Yeah, logo, yeah. Well, there would be something worked out like that, yeah.
Right. On the Lightwood, do they co-develop the Lightwood lights, as you see it there, with how you plan your art? Or do you plan your art around what?
It can work both ways. And with Pat would put the inserts in, and they would change a lot. They would change throughout the course of the game. Like here, we couldn't get the clock, put the clock down there, right?
Right.
Do you remember? But some designers will want the artist to position those inserts. So it all depends on the artist and the game, I guess, you know. I've asked for them to be moved a little bit, just if there's no room for art, you know, but not as a rule. I try to work around them.
Have they ever come back and changed the insert and then you have changed all your art?
Only like every game. Every game. I'm not kidding, every game.
We see the clock. The clock would have been here, but the right. Laptop would have been here. And
yeah,
it took out the three arrows.
Yeah,
you know, so it's
It's a team sport, and you have to realize you get in these meetings, and everybody's pitching stuff in. I think Larry DeMar came up with a super dog, but people are constantly coming up with ideas. You know, and same thing happened like at Midway. I worked with Eugene Jarvis. You know, you go in there for a meeting, and you got to be careful what you say if you're near the end of a run, because if you said something and Eugene liked it, it went in the game. You know, it's. With pinball, it's a little bit different because you're dealing with like bricks and mortar, right? Like,
I don't remember a drop card.
Well, this is an early Lightwood, so a lot can change.
Right. That's kind of interesting. It was a drop card.
Okay, next slide, please. One of the first things I do, I don't know if everybody does it, but because of all that real estate you have to cover, by the time you get around to ramp decals or whatever, you run out of ideas. So you always keep a list, and you just keep adding to it, little things you can put in, whatever you think of it, you add it, you know. And then you refer to it later on when you need something, you know. Next. I did do that with all my games. I just finished it. So these are the concept thumbnails. That's the first step. And these, you're not trying to draw pretty. You're just trying to get it down so you remember it later. This is like a carnival marker, you know. Like, maybe this is like the thing where you knock the jugs over, you know.
dummy, does he?
He was.
This one here, I was obviously visualizing a different path, but I was thinking of this as one of those carnival trucks where it folds down and becomes a ride or whatever, you know. And Rudy was going to be riding it. I can't remember what's going on. But I imagine Rudy being a little more than the cat, and I kept steering Rudy off. Well, you'll see. And Pat kept bringing me back towards center. He was right on. So next one, there's more of these. This is the one he basically went with eventually. Rudy, and it's basically the elements are there. You have the funhouse back here. Rudy, I don't even know what he's got in his hand, a beer or something. Tick, 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 so that we got the clock. I had lights up here, shining down on the sign. Rudy's got a cane. So Pat liked the elements there, but he wanted to see more. So remember, we started with those concept sketches right here. We're going to, I think, the next one. Go to the next slide here, please. Oh, we got more. This one, this is where he's getting a little demented, where this is the ride back here, Funhouse. And there's like barred windows here with people, previous customers that Rudy has captured, right? And then over here, you can drive down the highway, and those people are still underneath the truck. That's it. It's too far. Too far. Wheel it back in.
Go ahead. So how many of these get developed after hours in the bar?
I worked alone at home, so I would talk and then talk, get a meetings, and then I'd go home and I'd draw alone. But those,
I saw a list of features too, though. I'd be thinking.
Oh, those just evolved throughout.
Oh, the course of the game. I'm thinking that's a perfect.
Those concept sketches were done. I was doing the press run for a game up in Wisconsin, and you have to wait, you know, so I had a legal pad, so I just started thinking, you know. I drew all of those in my truck while I was waiting for, like, the whole. Usually you go to the bar and you can eat brats, you know, right? This is up in West Bend.
Is there a significance between the black and blue?
I learned that from the cartoonists. They draw in blue a lot, and then, I don't know what they do later on, they draw right over, but if you draw in light blue, you save paper, because you can draw right over with a darker blue. And then ultimately a pencil.
Yeah.
It works. I still do it to this day. When I went to a figure drawing group, and after years of not drawing a figure, I was losing my skills, you know? So I went to a figure drawing group, and it's like I was used to drawing on tissue layers, light blue, you know, dark blue, then another tissue layer, you know? Then you just gotta, you know, you're with other artists, you draw the real way. So eight years of that, I've gotten back to drawing. These are rough sketches, and there were three of these there were a few more that were a little bit, they were overlays, you know. These are the three basic ones he saw. I think the one on the upper left, that's the one he went with. That guy kind of looks like Teddy Roosevelt to me. But you can see the funhouse is kind of worked out with the hands. You got the kid on the dad's shoulders in the lower left. So the basic elements are there, had to be worked out a little bit. I still like this one a lot.
Yeah.
But you don't have the face, you don't have the eye contact like Rudy over there. And Rudy's looking sideways. But I saw this guy as like the Wizard of Oz, you know, he's behind the curtain, he's pulling all he's pulling all the levers making it happen. This one was just a fun one. I like the overhead view of the funhouse. You're up in the air and Rudy's like, I think he's taking everybody's money probably would have been falling out of his pocket, he's getting away, you know. So Pat liked the one on the upper left, me too. Go to the next one where like a rough sketch, another tighter rough sketch. I'm just narrowing it down, you know, getting feedback. You know, now I'm feeling confident. So I took it a little bit further. There's still no photo reference involved or anything. It's just drawing. I think I got a book on Riverview. Riverview is an amusement park in Chicago. Some of you, like everybody local, probably knows about it. But they closed down in '67. But it was ironically, it was right near Williams. It was across the river from where Williams was. I never saw it because I'm from Ohio. But lots going on here. You have the clocks, you know, the logo on the lead. This got moved up here. The crowd got added. I can't remember why. The drawing is pretty not proportional. You know, I'm just drawing freely. So I added the crowd on the side here. You can go to the next one. This is just references. Now I'm getting ready to move into the next tight sketch, so I need reference. So I do this all the time. My son, 29. And I don't have any hair anymore. So it was a long time ago. But that's how you do it. And then the next one is he's a tight sketch coming up. Yeah, that's the tight sketch. So that's everything's pretty much there. I remember I wasn't done with it. The crowd wasn't there. You can see where there's a sheet of tissue over at the bottom there. So the crowd was not finished, and I took it down to Williams because I was just late, and I knew that was going to take me a long time. And they approved the top. I remember Pat loved the thing about suburban wild boy raised by, well, it's not in this one. Wild boy raised by suburban coyotes, right? Something like that. And there's a lot of little stuff in there. There's more reference coming up in the next thing.
How many hours is it going to be?
I know the final art typically took like a week of like 14-hour days, you know. You just work nonstop. It's like you can't stop yourself. Next one, please. So here's photo reference for all those characters. And my kid just, I think it was like 4 or 5 there. He was a ham anyway. You know, he loved doing all this stuff. So Charlie was in there, my wife Jenny, and Andy, my older son. Next one, please. So this is Andy here. He's kind of trying to figure out, you know, if he's trust this guy, Rudy, this weird guy, Rudy. So that's the final art. And the final art's a lot. In most cases, the final art looks, the final painting looks different than what's on a back glass. The back glass gets illuminated from behind, so when we went to print it, we went to really high-end printers, and those guys, they're like serious craftsmen, these printers, you know, these German printers from up in Wisconsin, perfectionists, and they did not want to crank the ink up, you know, but they, by the time we walked out of there, the ink was cranked as high as it would go on their Heidelberg presses. It's because you needed all that ink. Once you light it up, you didn't have it. It was all washed out. It's really hard to print a back glass.
So you said on Heidelberg presses, so was this offset for you?
Yeah. It's like 6 colored presses up there, and they have like 3 or 4 of them. It's a lot. Now it's all digital.
Right. But back then, I wasn't printing back then.
Oh, okay. This is Serigraph up in West Bend, Wisconsin.
So, John, do you get involved in deciding the position of the bulbs behind the translite?
Yeah, the artist was always responsible for that. And you get, I'd call Pat, you know, and we had a grid,
mm-hmm.
that, a standard grid, you know, I think there were numbers on it or whatever.
Right.
So I'd position them where I want them, and I'd say, we'd put flashers in there too, you know. But we, you know, we highlight certain parts, which are really complicated because certain parts of the back glass mm-hmm. get blown out there.
What's a CFD?
That's a reference to one of Larry DeMar's relatives. There's a reference to everyone in almost all of my back glasses to his dad or. I don't remember who that is.
To Larry?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
Larry DeMar's relatives.
Is that the first time the red button was born?
No.
Red, that was in Whirlwind, too. The guy in the truck. Got it. Don't ask me. It's just a button. It's a button.
So how does your life change working for Jersey Jack? Because he's got a big screen in the middle of his...
Because why?
Well, with the Jersey Jack game, you've got the big monitor.
Oh, right.
So
I haven't gotten that far yet, but I'll be part of that, you know. So far, he's leaving us alone to do
well, I'm kind of wondering where... Because the line gets blurred because you've got art coming on the screen, which presumably John Paul's dealing with. But somehow I'm guessing you're going to need to coordinate with him.
Just cross that bridge when I get
there. Yeah, you're not there yet.
Did you do stuff that ended up as animated art for the DMVs?
Where at?
Did you do animated art for the DMVs as well?
No. We have someone else, or they have someone else. Done After Effects, that's not that great at that. Next one. I'm going through a series of sketches, and I'm missing the really loose sketches for the playfield. This is a rough playfield sketch that I would take in for approval. Right now we have the clock in it now. Really, this would be the first look Pat would have had at the playfield. So I'm, you know, devising these switch cover or these switch motif designs. Trying to fill in lanes and things. But again, this is only my third play field, so they're still hard to do. Okay, next one.
don't know. This is a rough number. It's just moved up and closer in. That's the only difference. Next, please. A tight sketch. I don't have my photo got blown out. I just shot this today. And the sun must have come out or something. So this is actually a pencil sketch that you will give the artist who's going to ink it for you unless you make it yourself. Next sketch for next photo. This is the ink. Playfield ink KO, which is Kevin O'Connor. So he inked this based on my drawing. He would ink on Mylar or I don't know what he used in particular, you know, but he would ink. I would get really, you just saw that previous drawing, a really accurate pencil drawing. So I guess I've been allowing him a lot of freedom, but he is great.
In your Superdog, is that any reference to Superdog, like Ray Donovan?
Ask Larry. Yeah.
Of course, that's misspelled compared to that.
Yeah, there was no, what's that guy, Doug? Doug Stowe, you guys done Chicago thing there? Super, what's his name?
Hot Dogs.
Hot Dogs, actually.
It's closed.
Okay, next. So we have, I'm trying to give you the process here. We start loose. It was a really loose stage at the beginning of that play field that you didn't see. I must have thrown away. It was so great. This looks really crappy, but I'm trying to resolve the color issues on the play field. So you're just laying color down fast. And I probably did like four of these, you know, before I proceeded and did a final color sketch. And of course, the game's going to be, or the play field's going to be silkscreen. So you can go to the next one. So this is a final color sketch that's given to the screen cutter. In this case, Margaret Hudson cut almost all of my games. She's great. She's a designer herself. It's real important to do the gradients and everything. This is old school work. And there would be, I had it, but it got cut off. There would be an indication of the colors that you were going to use. And there was a limit how many, and the artists would pride themselves on how few they could choose, you know. And they've been doing games for years. I was only like 2 years in pinball. And so I had like 13, 14, 15 colors. You know, they do them like 10, 11. They make fun of me for that. So it goes. I guess it was more expensive to make. Next, please. Here again, you can see the clock on there. This is probably Jerry Pinsler. He's the model maker. You're going to see drawings of Rudy coming up here. But I would do, John Crutch would build a mechanical device. John Crutch is the mechanical engineer. Then based on that device, I would have to draw characters to match where everything lined up. Next, please. Just more, this is actual final painted version. They'd always give me a prototype to paint. I photographed it just so I had it later on after we took a big one. I got it back, my boy. That's a prototype that's midway, you know, they're making changes and stuff. That's actually assembling. Actually, they're not. Yeah, they're assembling on the floor there, the factory floor. Next, please. Early drawings of Rudy. And there was a film called Magic. I don't know if anybody saw it.
Yeah, Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins, right. So I rented that movie, I took pictures of the dummy off the screen, and then I bought a Charlie McCarthy dummy, you know. So the first drawing I was doing that, this one actually looks like a guy I work with now, you know, out in Reno. Next, please. But you can see these lines. Actually, I made a wanted poster for Rudy, but the game went the wrong way. He was wanted for a lot of stuff. Anyway, that's what these lines are lining up just so it all works with. It has to work mechanically, what the model maker builds has to work with my drawings plus with John's mechanical device. It's not easy to do. These eyes have to open and close. And I think one of the problems was at the beginning with the profiles, they were worried about this getting beat up by the ball, and it does. Next, please. Pretty cool to walk out on the factory floor and see like a box full of Rudy's, you know. I went online to see like Rudy's favorite Rudy sayings, so I googled like Rudy pinball quotes, you know. And there's a website devoted to that.
Right.
I'm surprised to see. Next. I think we have a couple of more factory shots here.
Thanks.
You know, I don't know if these are what those represent, if they're people signing off okaying or if there are issues.
Hey, John, that's a tag sample.
A tag sample?
That's a tag sample. Every part on the plate building has a part on the tag.
Really?
Create the building material.
A tag sample, okay. Interesting, I learned something today. Next game, Gilligan's Island. Ward Pemberton, I think, was the designer.
Yeah.
One of his last games. Yeah, I think that was Ward.
Was it Dr. Dillon?
No.
Ward Pemberton did.
It was one of his last games, I think, as I recall. 91. Kind of like, I do a Pat game and then a game with someone else and a Pat game with someone else.
Dan Langlois has some credit on it, too. So.
That's because of the island thing that was the brain. I think he designed the play field originally. We had a meeting with Steve Kordak, and everybody was in there trying to figure out the theme for this game. And Steve Kordak wanted to do he loved Space Shuttle, the original Space Shuttle, and he thought, well, this could be a giant space station, you know?
Yep.
Could have been, you know, but just then we got the license, and it could be an island, so there you go, you know. This is just one of those real early sketches, you know. There had already been thumbnails beforehand, and I'm trying to nail it. It's pretty close. You know, this was moved over and centered, but the idea is there. You got this thing here, this Rube Goldberg device going on. I didn't know what it was going to be. And later on, Greg came up with the whole thing of lava seltzer. Greg Ferris did. Next, please. This is the tight sketch for the back glass. We have rights to use all of the celebrities except for Tina Louise.
Really?
So I just
shoot. She was always kind of persnickety and not.
Yeah, I know. You would think that the rights would actually not be owned by her.
No, the rights for her image is.
Yeah, the rights
for the character.
Even right. If it's associated with Gilligan's Island, I don't know. I thought you could have stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It works that way with everything, right? I mean, and
that's what I assume, yeah.
Didn't she skip like the later movies or
yeah.
Something like that?
In gaming, we really have a problem because we'll have a license for a game, and sometimes not one actor or actress will allow their likeness on a game, on a slot machine. So how do you do that game? And you don't find that out until it's all designed.
Oh,
man, everybody gets 10 beers each.
All right. And here comes the beer drinkers.
Oh, he's got squeezed cheese.
Okay, next.
Oops,
let's just go fast.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought they said they're waiting on us. I didn't realize we. I'm sorry, sir.
Sorry. You know, what I always remember about Gilligan's Island, you can go to the next one here. Playfield, next. Cabinet sketches for the back box. Next, please. One of my memories about this game, you probably heard the story before, but when Bob Denver came to Williams to do the speech, came to Chicago, and he came dressed like that.
Yeah.
In the photo session, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's like old Bob Denver, but he's still Gilligan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I work at home, but they called me. Well, Bob Denver's here. Come on down, you know, get to meet him. So, we had a friend that had a dog named Gilligan, so I had to get his autograph. But,
John, just curious, you asked him all about the building Gilligan's.
What's that?
Did you ask him at all about Adobe Gillis?
Well, I don't remember, but yeah, I was a Adobe Gillis fan, so. I asked him about Zelda.
Yeah, what did he say? Did
I don't remember. That was a long time ago. Zelda who?
Yeah.
Zelda Gopher.
Yeah.
But anyway, when it got to be lunchtime, he was done working, so the whole team, we piled in like three or four cars, and we went over to Chicago Joe's on Irving Park. I think it's still there. And we had a park like a block or two away, and it was summertime. So we get out of the car and we're walking down the sidewalk with Gilligan, right? You know, and a CTA bus was stopped at a red light. And the windows must have been down or something because I don't know if they still go down in those buses, but people started yelling, Gilligan, and they were sticking their arms out waving at him. Next thing I know, Gilligan's out in the middle of the street. You know, he's going up and down the bus high-fiving everybody. He did the same thing in the restaurant. He was a big, big hit in the restaurant. Next, please.
Right.
All right.
Wow.
Come and get it.
Right.
Is that you? Oh.
The guy in the hat.
Here, take your pick.
That's your pick. I got a shovel, huh?
And so that's Python game, obviously. And it was the usual drill we talked about before, those that were here. You can go to the next slide. Oh, there we go. Python had this drawn out pretty good. I redrew it. He did not like my face on the robot. My face was more like the Jackbot robot.
The credits on that, if I remember rightly, I think it was in the corner that we're missing, said something like
Python
a concept by Python, coloring by
illustration.
Yao
Si,
something
yeah,
like
I don't know.
There's an illustration by Yao Si, but it's kind of
concept.
Concept by Python.
I said, okay. So, because my question was. If not, how much of that is you and how much of that is Python?
Well, he did an initial drawing. I redrew it and painted it off.
So you'd have had it, a line drawing from him, just like a...
He had a rough, like a rough sketch that had to be
Okay.
He didn't have it worked out, really. You know, he didn't have to go, how this all works, you know.
Right.
On the Pinbot game, you know, he had the hands all worked out. The line
right.
He illustrated that. Those problems were solved. He redrew my face completely.
Right, so going back to the template you put up at the beginning, he provided a rough sketch, not a tight sketch.
Yeah. Right. He used to call me his wrist, but right? Someone told me that. He calls you his wrist. And I go, his wrist? Well, I'm his wrist. Yeah.
No. Not sure how complimentary that is.
Just curious, was Python more of an artist or more of a designer?
Well, he's both. He was a Renaissance man.
Everything.
He's Python. And I used to say, like,
and chef.
I always thought I had a great imagination. That's what everyone told me when I was a kid. But you have a great imagination, kid. My imagination went to like 10,000 feet, you know. Python's imagination was in a galaxy, you know, of a world that we didn't want to know.
So did you do the cabinet art, or did Python do that?
He did the cabinet art.
I think on the inside or somewhere, someone found it like a 1960s or early 70s Blender ad or something, and it was the robot woman in the exact same pose. And so,
as this?
As the
cabinet. On the cabinet.
Yeah.
Pretty close, you know. I really think he drew out of his head almost all the time. You know, I don't remember him. He may have used scraps or whatever.
So why didn't Python finish that off?
What's that?
Why didn't Python complete that term sign?
I didn't ask. I wanted to do it.
Right.
I got paid to do it.
Well, you did a lovely job. I think that's stunning.
Then Herr came and got called in. Python was, you've heard other people talk. I'm not the person to say it, but he's genius, but there's also a dark side, you know. Mm. So he disappeared, really, for months. And the game was ready to go online, and they didn't have a backlash, so I didn't want to do it because they didn't want to step on his toes out of respect to him. But then they said, hey, people are going to have to go home. They won't be able to work. Ken Fidesz told me that. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And I had some fun with it.
You made that face on that?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I was trying to be Python.
There you go.
I thought Python.
It's got to be a little benevolent there. You got to have a little.
Got to go mean.
Huh?
So beastly. But with weird clowns, you know? There's always clowns. So. It was fun to work on. It was really fast. I do remember that. Really, a couple weeks. Okay, next. I was probably working on that game when I got called into Pat's office, that little thing, you know, I want to show you something, you know, I want to ask you something. And what would you say if we could get the Addams Family license, you know? And he'd been to talk to Roger Sharp, and Roger Sharp said what was available or what might be available. So he had me do this while I was still working on another game, this foam core thing. And we're going to have some animation going on up in here, in the windows. There's going to be a little more depth to the back glass, but because of budget, we didn't do it that way. We didn't save the topper up there.
Would it have been like diner, or would it have been?
I'm sorry.
Would it have been, the animation been more like diner, or? What
yeah. It? Yeah. We never did it, so we never got that far. Next wave. That's probably a question for him. Tight sketch on Adam's family, and I told this story before. I don't know if you heard it or not, but there were a lot of revisions. Everybody liked everything.
All these Christopher Lloyd and the character that emerged, Raul Julia, but Angelica Houston, I had to
keep slimming her down. I thought she looked pretty good already. Even with the final artwork, I had to keep doing that. Next, please. This is the color comp. I don't have it. Pat Waller has the final painting. So I don't have anything on there. This is fun to work on, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Next, please. Some concept drawings at the beginning when I'm trying to get a handle on things. I knew we were going to have a main character, so I just drew hands for a while. A back box drawing over there. Next, please. Some whitewoods. You can see an early whitewood. You can see how the inserts changed. There's some other changes too. When I worked on these games, like you finish a game and go on to the next one, and so you guys remember this stuff a lot more than I do. If you own a game or whatever, how things move and parts are missing or added, whatever. Next. So that's a color playfield or playfield color sketch to give the marker to cut a screen. And you can see it's pretty close, but nowadays on the computer when I'm doing anything as a playfield, I have everything. Because of the layers in Photoshop, I'll put everything in there. You'll have jets and stuff. I want it to look like a finished playfield on ramps while I'm doing the color, just like they know exactly where it's going. Right? We had to do a lot of guessing back then. And then they would run a few tests. Greg Ferris is great about getting prototypes to work with. And they'd actually messenger them out to me for approval. I'd sign them and the messenger would wait. He gets back in the cab and takes it back. Or if you wanted color changes or whatever. They did a lot of experimenting with silk screen. It was a real art. We would lay color over each other too. Because we were limited with colors, remember? You know? Getting embarrassed about always using 14, 15 colors, so I was trying to pull back. So if you print like blue over gray, it'd be different than blue over white, you know, or you can print yellow, and this yellow is over red. So there's some transparency, and you can get transparent colors or paint colors. I learned a lot when I was working there about that. It was fun. Next, please.
One more.
Yeah, we got that one? Okay, Dominic.
Take your pick.
You're just sitting there waiting.
He's going to be sitting there, aren't
he? Yeah,
he's
I've known Dennis Nordman for a long time by then, and we had a lot in common. We're both from Ohio, and we both race motorcycles. Even though I hadn't worked with him, I was in his cube. Or in his office a lot. So I got to know him pretty well. I was really pleased when he asked me to work for Whitewater. And I went in, and Greg and him obviously collaborated a lot before. And Greg had this idea. It was like a beer sign up in Wisconsin. The lenticular printing to make the waterfall look like it's moving. It was pretty cool, pretty successful. Next. Early on there, so we got to, you know, you're doing this theme, Whitewater. We got to have Bigfoot in there, you know. And I looked at him and I go, I know who Bigfoot's going to be. So I drove out to his house and photographed him with profiles and straight on for the model maker. Did those drawings. I don't think this really looks like that guy, but it turned out okay.
Nonetheless, I think the model maker,
I don't remember who the model maker was at this stage. Gary Pensler had passed away by then. Next, please. Dennis likes new foam core mock-ups of everything. Dennis Nordman. Likes new foam core mock-ups. And it's a big help to the artist to visualize that stuff.
I take pictures from all angles. It helps you see what the player's going to see once he's next week. Rough sketch, some things have changed, but a lot still there. This is probably feedback, some feedback from the team.
Who are the people that we can recognize?
You'll find out.
Okay.
Next, please. So that's the tight sketch, and I have one coming up to show who all those characters are. I needed a lot of photo reference for the characters. Next. That's the final artwork. I forgot what order these are. You know, if I was sitting there, I could see them. Next. Yeah, these are reference shots for all the characters. It's just the cheapest models you can get.
I love it.
Other than the neighbors, and I had to pay the neighbors. After a while, they learned that, you know, you can get money for this. No, I always do. Next. I had my son do the pose just for the anatomy, and then I looked through magazines till I found body parts, and I based my drawing on that. I didn't have a model like that. I mean, nowadays I have I know a lot of models who do that for nothing. So back then I did it, you know. A little thing about Python, like when I was working on Jokers, I noticed through this play field. If you look at it, it's got staircases going up on both sides. It looks three-dimensional. It creates an illusion of depth. And I tried to emulate that whenever I had an opportunity to. So I thought, I'm going to make this Grand Canyon look like it's carved out of the wood using perspective and stuff. I had fun doing it. These are the screen colors I mentioned earlier. It looks like there's 13, but I might call one out and say, this is blue over something, you know, or whatever. I don't think there were 13 colors. White's a color.
Did you use Pantone back then?
Yes.
So the printer used that as a printer reference.
We would choose specific. Well, I would choose the color, then in the office, they knew something to help me with, you know. They would specify, you know.
No, is this Churchill Pantone?
I don't know who did these play fields. We were so busy. I think they had three shops doing our play fields. Because we were doing, my God, I don't know how many they printed a day. The final play field. That was my play field until the jury helped me. So.
What?
That was my play field until you helped me out. Next.
Wow.
How could you not know that?
Oh, yeah.
Who said that first?
Well,
you don't get it.
I'm supposed to be brought up.
You're right.
Take him.
Were you first?
So.
Someone come up and get one.
You have to get up there.
Go for it.
So Larry's mother today was telling me there's lots of little stuff in here. Here's something about Larry's dad, and then she says, E equals MC2. I think that means something too.
Family? Related lines? Yeah, there is one to his father. I have a little reference to my family doctor. Next, please. Again, you know, I've been working on another game on Whitewater. I get the call from Pat, you know. What would you think if we could do Twilight Zone? You know? And I love Twilight Zone. I mean, back then we only had three channels on TV, and they were all like Ed Sullivan.
So did you know what all the stuff on the back glass was about?
Not at the beginning, but I got the Twilight Zone companion. I read that, and then Twilight Zone would run on TV, and I taped them all. You know?
So did you originate most of the elements, or did other people suggest?
Almost all of them are from the game, or from the book. The show, but there are some original elements. The gumball comes original.
Did you write it down like you did?
You'll see. I think I have that.
There is a gumball machine in Twilight Zone, but it's just kind of a prop there.
Yeah. Well, they changed their intro like 3 times.
Yeah.
4 times.
They what now?
They changed the intro.
The intro.
Three seasons.
3-4 times.
Yeah, they went for each season.
Right.
It's still fun to watch. I watch, whenever I catch up, watch and see, okay, how many times have I seen this? I saw the William Shatner moment to talk to the devil. Plots are so simple, and it moves so slow. Next. So there's my hit list, and there's the book. I still have it, it's threadbare. And I tie in the episodes, and episode 136 or whatever, then I would actually write, when I got down to it, I'd write the counter on the VCR tape so I could find it. I learned how to photograph off a really bad TV. It's all we had, There's no screen grabs. Next. So I was doing rough drawings for the backlash at the beginning, and everything was looking normal. It was looking too normal for the Twilight Zone. Things needed to be a little skewed, So, I love this illustrator, Chris Van Allsburg. He bought a lot of children's books. He's a children's book illustrator. He wrote the Polar Express and illustrated it. But he did Jumanji and a lot of other books. So I started thinking about his perspective. He always has perspective on the floor, like a kid's perspective looking up, or maybe up looking down. So I was also inspired by the minute Pat told me about what he wanted on the back glass, which was the curio shop. I thought of Norman, I was a big Rockwell fan, I still am. I thought of this scene with the lettering on the glass or outside the barbershop. And I actually was going to try to do it like that, but it just didn't work with what we were doing. But two pieces of inspiration for the back glass. Next, please. So, I was working on Whitewater, and Pat called me in and said, we have this license with Viacom, I think it was, for them, the Twilight Zone. And Viacom was all on board, they didn't really care that much, but we had to get Carol Serling's approval. So he said, we need a sketch, and we need it really fast. So, I did this like on a weekend. It was just based on, I guess I had the book, and watched a few episodes on TV to refresh my memory a little bit. And I'm surprised how much the final pack of this looks like. But she saw it and she loved it. She just said, get rid of the cigarette. There's a cigarette. You can see the smoke. Because he died at one point. Mm-hmm. Okay. One of my reference shots off my little club instrument. He had a weird mouth. It was really hard to get into his teeth. Stop it, just trying to get that perfect shot, and that's what I tried to emulate on the backrest, even though the figure and the header are slightly different angles. Next one, please. That's Rudy again. This is an easy model. I'm so willing to just sit there forever. Yeah. I love drawing all that stuff. Next.
Does he know he's Rudy now?
Not only he knows, but everybody else knows that they know. More photo reference. The figures on the left are from the play field over on the left hand in the town square. These other shots are just trying to get the perspective right for Rod's. Can you guys hear me over there?
No.
Yeah, they're getting a little loud, so it's a little hard to hear.
I'm guessing that we're in overtime now, so. Rob, what time can we carry on till?
Those guys should have same room. This is supposed to end at 9:30.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to start.
Okay, so right.
Yeah. Okay, right. Let's go through them pretty quick. Real fast. Final sketch. Roll them. It took me like forever to do that. Now we're doing it in seconds. The white wood and the final. You can see all the crap on. Well, it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
I had to paint that. Because we didn't have a real game yet, and we were giving away a game on the Today Show. So nowadays it would be so easy to do it, but I had to paint it from scratch.
Wow. So somebody actually out there has a hand painted version?
I have.
Oh, you're giving one away.
Giving that away.
Right.
where
right.
It's not that big.
Right.
I love this. Well, we could spend a lot of time on it, but we've already talked about a lot of this stuff. We're thinking in the rough sketches, so roll them. That's the first. This is a CAD drawing, by the way. They used, obviously, at the beginning, there was no CAD. So the drawings were all done mechanical drawings on paper with smudge, erase smudges, and fingerprints on white wood.
So do you get paid by the square foot? Because we're now looking at a wide play field, so there's more art.
No, I didn't get paid any. I got paid enough.
Right.
The cool thing was, I mentioned earlier that not everybody was here, but we got royalties.
Uh-huh.
And I had royalties on other things I mentioned, and they never amounted to anything. So the first time a royalty check came, my wife came in the house and said, "You got another check from Williams. Didn't you already get paid for that job?" I said, "Yeah, we're going to have to send it back." So I was downstairs, and I made the envelope out, I put the stamp on it, I was looking at the check, and I looked down in the corner, because really, it was a lot, and it said royalty.
Wow.
I go, "We're going to Disney World." Actually, it went to Fidelity.
Mm.
All those roads. Next. Tight sketch of the play field. Trying to do the dimension thing that I learned in Python. And Mark Springer did really well, too. Just getting some nice perspective on the play field to create an illusion of depth. Next, please. I think this back glass is a little too busy. If I did it over again, I think I could have used color to simplify it. And if I was working on a computer, I would have solved this problem simple. Once it's painted, you know, and you make those mistakes. There's just no going back. I just think the drawing works better than the painting. Actually, that previous one was a rough sketch. This is a tight sketch after models. So. Next, please. Final artwork. You can see it's kind of busy back there. I should have muted the colors in the background. But Pat loves Crayola colors. I don't know if you guys know that. I mean, I really, he's dead serious about it. It's not in a Crayola six-pack, forget it.
Wow.
Next, please. Developing the characters again. Here's John Crutch's drawings like he had in the movie. And there's a drawing underneath all of these.
To make sure everything's lined up.
By then I'd really learn. You better get it right. Next. Jackbot. Python was gone working for a dating Easter or someone by then.
Capcom.
Thank you. So I got to use the Pinbot character, but this female robot, and that's the kind of face I had on the right of Pinbot originally. I think it was a good decision back then for Python to do that. This I wanted to make it my own, so I tried to dovetail it. Next, please.
Did the movie Metropolis play into this character?
I was inspired by a Japanese artist, Soriano, I think was his last name. I had a book by him. Chrome was really big. If you could airbrush Chrome, I'm not kidding. I made a great living doing Chrome lettering for McDonald's. They had like $1 million diamond game. Every letter had to be airbrushed, and you were doing like hundreds of them, you know. So they paid a lot of dough for that. Now anybody with Photoshop and the layer style can create great Chrome. It's fun to work on it. Next. Some of the inspiration, you know, where it came from. Next.
Python ever mentioned it should have nipples?
Medieval Madness.
Of course.
Yes. Yes,
oh,
yes.
Okay, but who's... Wait, time out. Put that down. Oh, sorry. Take it. Who's the inspiration for that? Anybody know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to know that. Next. We're going to get rolling now. Next. There's Greg back then.
With the pen upside down.
So Greg, I got called in. I think he was just too busy, you know. And Brian Henning was the designer. This is Greg's rough sketch he gave me. If you look at the back glass, I used that perspective exactly how the banner worked out. And I went in for the meeting, and I'm meeting with all those guys. It was a great team. And they had this hit list on. This is their hit list, by the way. All the things they wanted in the illustration. I'm looking at that, and I think there was more. And they were adding things. I mean, this meeting went, okay. Next, I mean, don't want to let your team down. So I added more of my own stuff, as a matter of fact. Next. Just the process of trying to get the right expression on it. I think this sketch here captured it. I like that. And when I tightened it up, I lost it. He looks like one of the Bee Gees singing a song. So I was thinking of Steve Ritchie gets it.
So will you get royalties from the remake?
I gotta look into that.
You got your contract.
I've thought of that already. Ask me how it's going in about a year. Next. Cheap models. My kid on the left there just had his jaw moved over like a quarter inch. And he was recovering from surgery, so he made a good troll. His face is all set, and his mouth is actually wired shut. Next. Oh, wait, we just saw that.
Don't go.
It's so good, we're showing it twice. I have that artwork, it's like this wide, it's painted in gouache, so when you feel it, it's like velvet or something. Next. The golf. Again. Next, let's just roll through these. Well, I wanted, by the way, Jim, I thought of this when you called me because this is how I wanted the back glass. And the star is not the golfer, you know. The star is the gopher, but I thought, well, Greg still makes fun of this, you know, I'm a giant gopher. Ron Ripley's, believe it or not, there's like a giant shrunken head.
There is. Yeah.
But it works. Next.
Okay.
That was just a drawing I did at the beginning because I wanted to get in the mood of the whole thing. Next. Did anyone see Bill Murray on Letterman this week?
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
He's out running the Murray, practicing for the Murray. Rough color sketch from the playing field. Next, please.
I don't know.
Cactus Candy. Who said it first?
Someone
you already got one. Someone else. Come on. Well, take your pick. Let's keep it rolling.
The last game, it's supposed to be the last game I was working on. Really, at the time, it was, nobody put the game designer on or a previous game designer or something, but the game turned out really well, and they didn't make enough, I guess, is in demand. Next, please. Characters. Again, my kid being the girl.
I didn't have a girl.
You know, my wife wouldn't do it. You know? She hated modeling. We'll get something else. Next. Final artwork. We're done with this one already. See? Jim, you're going to be real pleased with what's coming.
No, not
really. Oh, the cabinet. I had a blast with the cabinet. I've come a long way since Whirlwind and those old cabinets.
No.
That's it.
Oh,
that's all I tried. Did my best.
I appreciate it. I do.
Python, I was just going to, really, I already told the story at the beginning. I kind of jumped ahead. But I was just talking about, we've talked about him all evening during this talk about him, the kind of guy he was. An artistic genius, you know, that could draw, had a real gift for creativity and drawing. I was a model for the King and the Jester, and I found photographs of Frankenstein referenced together. Anyway, you know, I'm really glad I got to work with him. I mean, you know, you meet people in your life, and I will never forget him.
How can you forget him?
Next, please. Police force. Oh, there we go. The lion and the cheetah. But the rat and the alligator and the rhino and
all those critters. What about those word assets? Right under jackpot on this.
I'm sorry?
The word assets is not under jackpot.
No, it's not. Don't ask me.
It was on the final version, right?
Yeah. Really? He must have lettered it in. Are they set tight for
it? Yeah.
Wow. Next, please. We already saw. There's that note. Oh, by the way, I don't think you guys would know, but if Dave Christensen. Oh, yeah, look at that. Well, that's
there's a window there.
That's a little, what they call it.
Oh, right. Okay. So that's showing through.
Yeah.
All right.
I just, we're cleaning out our house, and I found these up in the attic. I have a couple of drawings from this. This is my file, sketches from the 70s. So it's all things for, like, magazines and advertising. And I find this, you know. And then there's another one, too. I'm sorry?
Was that maybe?
I did this for Valley.
It's got skull windows in it, hasn't it?
Yes.
So.
Next, please. There's another one, too. Two more. So, I don't know.
That's like Evel Knievel. And maybe the other one was...
No, they never used these for any games.
Heavy Metal Meltdown would have been maybe down there.
They paid me something.
You didn't mention this to me.
I just found them. I'm not going to count them like a week and a half ago. I've had them underneath a weight flat. Had to clean them up to recover them. I'm going to go up in the attic.
It's fine.
I think next. Yeah, that's it.
Right.
And that was a long first chat. Thanks for coming, everybody.